another Friday rolls around. I love Fridays. I love being here. 90.3 WHBC, WHBC HD. Time for American Hit Radio, the Friday edition. I'm Tom Ryan with my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. We come in and we're here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. Doing different things there on Wednesdays than we do on Fridays. Fridays, we are having a load of fun now because with the How Music Changed series that we do on Friday, when we pick a topic, we go pretty deep and we try to cover as much as we possibly can. We've done about maybe 50 of these so far out of about 200 that I was hoping to do. Or thereabouts, 250. I don't even remember. There's a magic number is. But we started a series on Jimi Hendrix about a month ago, and this is fire. This whole series is absolute fire. We just last week on part four, it took us up to that point, 4 hours before us to cover just the first single released by Jimi and then the second single as well. The rest of it was about live performances and things that he had done to get us to that point in time. So here, we're going to be picking up in May of 1967, pretty much the very, very, very beginning of what would eventually be called the Summer of Love. And it might seem very hard to believe now, and I think Americans would probably feel almost dumbfounded by it, to think that by this point in time, May 12, 1967, to be exact, that was when Jimmy's debut album, Are You Experienced, was being released in England. And America still didn't even have a clue who Jimi Hendrix was. In England, he's performing live around the continent, doing live radio appearances on England's Radio 1, which we had covered just last week. And he had two hit singles and eventually an album tearing up the charts. In America, there was nothing yet. Crickets. This show is going to feature the original British version of Are You Experienced, which was released a full 3 months before the American edition. And it's a very different album than what came out in America. If you're at all a fan of, say, the Beatles, there was this, England had a thing about not putting hit songs on albums. They considered that to be cheating. It was like a cheap thing to do. And if you're a Beatles fan, you would know that, because when the CDs came out of all of the Beatles albums, they released the British versions, not the American albums, mostly because that's what the Beatles had, you know, wanted to have happen. And none of those albums really contained hit singles. The singles would be a separate entity, and then the album would have a whole mess of tracks that were not intended to be released as singles. So when you bought an album, you would get 14 songs that you never heard before, rather than maybe doubling down. Like if you bought the single and then it was on the album, that's kind of cheating, isn't it? I mean, that's the way that they thought of it in England. In America, that wouldn't be the case. So when the Jimi Hendrix and the Experience album, Are You Experienced album, it's hard to say all that, came out in America, they loaded it with the singles. But because they also had a right to at that point in time, because like I said, none of them were hits really yet. So they had to basically promote Jimmy as best as they could. So this being released 3 months before the American edition, with next week, our story's timeline will continue with his American debut performance, Jimi Hendrix and the Experience, and their debut performance in America, which will break things open. That's not going to be for another month, though. So this is still in the pre-fame era. So the album is Are You Experienced? It is chock full of tunes written by Jimi Hendrix, pretty much on the on the British version, they're all his. I believe that everything on this album was written by Jimi Hendrix. So this is a guy that never wrote a song before he ended up going to Great Britain. Now he's there for barely 6 months, and he puts out an album that's 100% original. He had fear about singing live. He's, of course, singing every track. And he changes the world pretty much overnight with this album. This is the UK version of Are You Experienced that we're going to play. And it opens with Foxy Lady. Listening in stereo, I certainly hope that both of your speakers are working because on the British version, the stereo panning is rather incredible. For example, the vocals are 100% in the right channel. So if you're only hearing the left channel, you're probably hearing the instrumental mix, which is rather amazing. The producer, Eddie Kramer, would say that I would fill four basic tracks, because they had all that they had in England at the time. It was four channel. He'd fill it with stereo drums on two of the channels and bass on the third and Jimmy's rhythm guitar on the fourth. From there, Chaz Chandra and I would mix this down to two tracks on another four-track recorder, giving us two more tracks to put on whatever we wanted, which usually included Jimmy's lead guitar and vocals, as well as backing vocals and some added percussion. We heard all of that on Foxy Lady. In particular, we heard that crazy chord that Jimmy was using at that time. That, I mean, I'm not a guitar player, so talking about it from at my end almost doesn't even make sense, because I don't know what a flattened seventh, you know, ninth chord is. But that became, like what they said, like the devil's chord. And I guess different people said different things about it. When a critic said that, you know, much of what Jimmy did with the guitar translated the R&B blues soul sensibility to the psychedelic age. I think that's an understatement. So the next track, yeah, it was actually specifically, though, to get it right, it's called A Dominant Seventh Sharp Ninth Chord. Okay, that being said, next track up is a song that we haven't played. There's a lot of songs on this album that would have been brand new, and it is for us as well. It's called Manic Depression. Jimmy called it ugly times music. And one time he said, lyrically, he goes, it's a story about a cat wishing that he could make love to music instead of the same old everyday woman. Manic Depression. But this album is that it is so unbelievably energetic. At a time when psychedelics were more or less basically taking music and moving it into places that were a little bit more laid back and mellow and psychedelicized, Jimmy's like going full bore. He's, you know, hardcore, going head first. And it's also interesting in the sense that the British album versus the American album, there were a lot of songs that didn't get released in America for a while. The third track on side one that we're about to play, for example, is called Red House, and didn't get released in America until 1969, when they put out the greatest hits album, Smash Hits. Up until then, it was sort of unknown. But if you were living in Great Britain at the time, it would have been right there on his debut album, right there in May of 1967. So there's two tracks actually in a row here that were not released on the American version of the album. And although Red House became pretty well known because he would perform it in concert a lot, and I know that a lot of people like became big fans of the tune, but Can You See Me sort of remained obscure in the States. It was not on Are You Experienced, and it didn't get played very often. So we can play both of those back to back because they are sort of special from an American perspective. So we'll start with Red House, segue that into Can You See Me.
Thank you. future of a thousand years. Can you hear me? Right all over town. Yeah, baby. Can you hear me, baby? Right 'cause you put me down. Train coming from a thousand miles.
A lot of people, like even big fans of Jimi Hendrix, where that song is basically just lost. That's pretty awesome. That's called Can You See Me? Songs like Red House and Can You See Me were in America were replaced by Hey Joe, Purple Haze, and Wind Cries Mary, because those were the three A-side hit singles in England by the time the American album came out. Now, in Great Britain, Wind Cries Mary didn't even exist yet. But the American album came out a full more than three months later than the English album. They waited that's a lifetime in the Summer of Love. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, here's this album coming out in England in May, and America waits for 2 months after his debut appearance in Monterey before they release Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced, the album, in August 23rd. So they cut out three tracks to make room for the hit singles that the British wouldn't have even dreamed of putting the hit singles on the album. That wasn't going to happen. An LP track that appears on both albums is the next song called Love or Confusion.
We'll be right back.
So much going on in this album. It's incredible. We should talk about the cover a little bit. Chris Stamp, he was one of the managers for The Who, and he was also like running Track Records, which is where The Who were recording, and Jimmy was signed to that label. So it was Chris Stamp who was in charge of putting together the cover in Great Britain. So they have this picture of Jimmy like standing above his bandmates, you know, Mitchell and Redding, wearing this like looks sort of like a cape. Some people would call it like the Dracula cover, and it's strange. It's dark, like a dark dulland green, like a brownish green sort of a thing, and it says "Are you experienced" on the cover twice, rather than putting the band's name on the cover. They didn't think of that. Like, that's kind of weird. Jimmy didn't like it. And even Chris Stamp, after it came out, said it's not a good cover. Eventually, Jimi Hendrix would make sure to have it changed when it was going to be released in America. You know, he wanted something psychedelic. So he went to a photographer who did a sleeve for the Hollies, an album called Evolution, and he thought it was a pretty good psychedelic cover. So he said, "Why don't you help me with mine?" So he said that he would, but he wanted to basically hear the music that was going to be, what does the band represent? So they let him come in and like listen to their recording sessions when they were beginning to like put down songs for the second album. So eventually, at first, like the guy who did the cover, his name is Carl Ferris, said that the music sounded so far out that it seemed to come from outer space. So he wanted to basically take this, what he considered this unworldly space music, and like make it feel like that it could be like something that was landing on Earth. So we used that fisheye lens thing. You know the cover, the American cover. It's very popular. And it's a much better cover than the one that was in Great Britain. Yeah, this is a good time for me to mention that you are listening to Americanet Radio on 90.3 WHBC, WHBC HD. And we are here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. in Garden City, New York. And if you were interested in hearing the stuff that you might have missed in this series, because parts 1 through 4 were pretty darn interesting, I think. And playing the album is in itself all well and good, but there's a lot of history. So if you want to check it out, go to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com, or just search for American Hit Radio, the name of the show. You remember that easy enough. And you'll find it right there on the homepage. And you can listen at your own leisure whenever you want to hear it. All right, so we are playing our way through the British version of the album, Are You Experienced? We've got one song left for side one. It's called I Don't Live Today, and it's interesting because Jimmy always considered himself to be of Indian heritage. He was told that he had Cherokee blood. And that is what inspired him to write this song, basically a song that he would dedicate to the American Indian and all minority depression groups. Now, it could be a real bummer, you know, if you do that, you basically sound like you're getting, you know, high on your horse or something, or you're just doing something that sounds dark. Jimmy somehow manages to do this and makes it sound almost fun. It's called I Don't Live Today.
I'm not afraid to die. life nowhere.
How psychedelic is that? That's the way that side one ended on the British album. Now, you got to keep in mind that, I mean, this album was recorded. It took them a few months to get it all down, but they were waiting for Jimmy to be writing songs and make sure that he had decent arrangements. But they would go into the studio, and the average song, they'd maybe fool around with it for somewhere between 2 to 4, maybe 5 hours. That was it. And that included the mix and everything. So just imagine the amount of ingenuity going into this with a song like I Don't Live Today, with all those effects and all the like moving the tracks and the sounds from one place to another. And it was mostly just luck and an awful lot of just inspiration. Rather amazing. And we heard right there, I mean, most of that side, you can hear the crazy side of Jimmy. That's what he was trying to do, is basically be something totally over the top from what other people were doing at the time. But he had, if you really want to basically make a mark, you want to show that you're diverse. And no song represents that better than the song that opens up side two on the British album. It's a song called May This Be Love. And it's like, it's a ballad. And it's sort of a beautiful ballad. It sounds like the lyrics are something. He's really trying to sing words from his heart. And even like the guitar solo is like just beautiful. It's, you really get to hear the diversity of Jimi Hendrix when you listen to this song next to a song like the one that we just heard, I Don't Live Today. Here is May This Be Love.
Waterfall, nothing can harm me at all. My worries seem so very small, but my waterfall. I can see my rainbow of my waterfall. Some people say daydream is for all the lazy-minded fools with nothing else to do. So let them laugh at me. So just as long as I have see me through, I have nothing to lose. Long as I have you, waterfall, don't ever change your ways. Fall with me for a million days, or my waterfall. Thank you.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I thought that there was. I always thought that song was called Waterfall. It just, I guess, you know, without even thinking about it, I'd hear it and I'd just say, oh, that would have been like I don't know, I don't want to say a better name, but it's called May This Be Love, so it is what it is. All right, now Jimmy's performing also. That's another thing that's maybe taken up some of the time as far as like putting the album together, because he's playing gigs with The Experience and they're getting more and more popular. He's like starting to sell out theaters. Actually, on opening night at London's Astoria Theater, the excitement was palpable and Hendrix was eager to make an impression. I am now, by the way, just to make it obvious, I'm taking these notes from a book which is simply entitled Hendrix, and it's written by Janie Hendrix. It was Jimmy's stepsister along with John McDermott. It's a pretty awesome book, pretty heavy book. I say heavy literally. It's probably about 6 pounds or so. So Jimmy is like getting famous enough to be able to play in theaters rather than clubs. And he's really, he's firing on all cylinders. So he's backstage before the band goes on. A music reporter named Keith Altham offered a casual suggestion to Jimi Hendrix. He said, why don't you consider setting your guitar on fire when you play the song Fire? And Jimmy thought that, like, wow, that's a really good idea. So he discussed it with Chaz Chandler, how they could do it within his set. So the road manager, Jerry Stickles, was discreetly dispatched to purchase lighter fluid. And no one outside of the group had any idea of what was about to take place. So eventually, The Experience take the stage. And at this point, Jimmy was at his most outrageous, incorporating all of his now patented stage moves. It's a 45-minute set, and he's like joyously playing the guitar with one hand, playing with his teeth, playing through his legs, behind his back. And every time he's doing this, the crowd is screaming, freaking out, because think about it. The other guitar players were sort of guys like Eric Clapton, who would just kind of stand there and play their bit. This was absolutely nuts. So the sold-out crowd is losing it. Now, he finally gets to the close of the set, and he ends the set with the song Fire. And he places the guitar on the floor, douses it with lighter fluid, and sends the instrument ablaze. The audience went nuts. Here's the song Fire.
Stand next to your fire. We'll be right back.
it easily could have been a single. But I guess they didn't want to, like, totally saturate the market. But that's fire. Now, if you were listening to this series, I think it might have been in part three, we were playing raw studio takes of some of the songs that they were working on. And one of the ones that was really fun to listen to was Third Stone from the Sun, because you'd hear Jimmy, like, doing his, like, ad-libbing some vocal lines, and you could hear that he was, like, being totally silly. You hear him laughing and trying to, like, hold back, like, cracking up from some of the things that he was saying. But they were able to take it and fade it in and fade it out and dump it onto the music track, so when it ended up coming out, it sounded like crazy psychedelic. If you want to hear that, go back to I think it was show number three, for the studio live take of the vocal part of the track. But here, then, in its entirety, is the finished, remarkable, all 6.5 minutes of Third Stone from the Sun. Yeah. two more tracks to play. I'm going to drop them in right now. First up is a song called Remember, which is sort of like an R&B song that maybe resembles what Hendrix might have been doing before he came to London in the first place. And then the title track, Are You Experienced? This is a blast. I hope you can join us next week as we continue with our story on Jimi Hendrix. Thanks, folks. See you then.
Let me prove it to you.